Cameras decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with
Gloria.
That is correct. And today we are diving into some spooky history, some shocking facts, some I don't know what else to say. But basically, they say witches fly on broomsticks under blood moons, that they are whispered to demons in the forest, that they cursed crops, sicken livestock, and dance naked with the devil in the woods. They say a witch can look like anybody, your neighbor, your midwife, your daughter. That one word witch was all it took to ruin a life. And in 1692, in a quiet Parisian village on the edge of the New World, those whispers turned into screams. Today, we're investigating one of the darkest stains on early American history, the Salem Witch Trials.
That's interesting. When did this take place?
I just said 1692. 400 years ago.
Before the dinosaurs.
I'm not even going to go there. That timeline is so off, it's sad. It's a story of accusation, paranoia, and death. But beneath the hysteria, could there have been something more? Something biological. Some believe the witch panic was triggered not by the devil, but by something growing in the fields.
It's quite interesting because you see something growing in the fields, mm-hmm. and something I'm thinking about. I don't know if you're thinking what I'm thinking.
No.
But for some reason, recently, Danny has been able to get me to watch Stranger Things. I don't know how, but she did it.
And you're so
the only thing I can,
admit you're enjoying.
I am.
Yeah.
It is still a bit spooky,
but it's good.
And when I say spooky, not necessarily that I'm getting scared of it, but it feels very
Skrik.
Unsettling. But yeah, the only thing I can think of now is Demogorgons.
You're in the field.
Demon dogs. But anyway. Yeah.
No, this is actually something growing in the fields. And funnily enough, I knew about the Salem Witch Trials, obviously. I mean, knowing me, that's something I would know.
Yeah.
But I was watching TV yesterday, and unfortunately I had no Wi-Fi, so I had to watch satellite TV to my broken little heart. And I came across a documentary called Mysteries at the Museum, and I was quite interested, and so I put it on, and they actually started speaking about the Salem Witch Trials and basically debunking what actually happened there. Because I know there were witches, people thought women were witches, they killed them. End of story. That's what
it's the only thing you can do. What?
I'm not gonna bother to respond to that.
Like, if you knew there were witches around you, are you gonna do?
What was the evidence?
Okay, that's also
okay.
A good
let's
point.
Actually get into that, and then we'll see what Glory has to say by the end of the show. So let's go back, way back to Salem Village, Massachusetts, winter of 1692, a tight-knit Parisian settlement where daily life revolved around prayer, hard work, and fear of the devil. Those days were those days where people were so superstitious.
Yeah.
Like a crow would land on your field and you'd just cut all your plants down type of superstitious. Like they were to the extreme, like believing in like signs and possession and all that kind of
stuff. I'm not even gonna lie, like my family's like that. Like if, for example, a cat cries at night, makes that weird noise. Mm. They see it like as a bad sign.
Yeah,
if you see a rat, they see it as a bad sign. It's like a little bit
it's
crazy.
Extra. Anyway, in January, 9-year-old Betty Paris and her cousin, 11-year-old Abigail Williams, began having violent fits. They screamed, barked like dogs, crawled under the furniture, claimed invisible forces were biting and pinching them. Doctors found no physical explanation. So naturally, in this God-fearing village, there could only be one answer. Witchcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. The girls said they were being tormented by witches. When pressed, they gave the names Tibua, I think that's how you say it, an enslaved woman from the Caribbean, Sarah Good, a homeless beggar, and Sarah Osborne, a reclusive old woman. They were arrested, but it didn't stop there.
Yeah.
Soon, more girls joined the accusers. More names were given, more arrests. The paranoia spread like wildfire. Between February 1692 and May 1693, over 200 people were accused, 30 were found guilty, 19 were hanged.
What?
One man, Gillis Corey, was crushed to death with stones. And what's chilling, all of it, every accusation, every trial, and every execution was completely legal. So, how did this happen? Why did these people turn on each other? The Parisians believed the devil was active, constantly trying to corrupt them. Salem Village was already under stress, political rifts, property disputes, and a recent smallpox outbreak, and fear of Native American attacks from nearby frontier. There were even family feuds, deep economic divisions between Salem Village and Salem Town. Resentment brewed just below the surface. So let's just say it was a pretty problematic area today.
Yeah.
Add in a long, harsh winter, a bad crop season, and a few mysterious illnesses, and you have the recipe for mass paranoia. But what if it wasn't just the fear that drove people mad? You know what I found, though, very interesting? What? For my whole life, you know when you feel like you've been living a lie? My whole life, I really believe I was told that the people, the women who were killed in Salem, the witches,
yeah,
in inverted commas, were burned at the stake. I distinctly know that fact in the back of my brain.
Yeah.
And then when I watched this documentary, I was like, they were hanged. What happened to the burning?
It's like a completely different story.
It might have been, you know, when you hear the fact wrong,
yeah,
but it sticks with you. I feel like that's probably what happened, but I was quite surprised because I really felt, I was like, really? I have believed the wrong thing for such a long time. I really believed that they were burnt at the stake.
Yeah.
I don't know how I had that in my head, but it was kind of like a light bulb moment. I was like, oh, I was wrong. Clearly mistaken. So, in 1976, behavioral scientist Linda Caporel proposed a controversial theory that the Salem witch trials weren't just religious hysteria, they may have been caused by ergot poisoning. So, ergot is a mold that infects rye grain in damp, cool conditions. That year, Salem had a very wet spring and summer, perfect for mold to flourish in stored grain. And what happens when you eat bread made with ergot contaminated rye? Well, you get something called convulsive ergotism.
What? With
symptoms include muscle spasms, seizures, hallucinations, crawling sensations, vomiting, and yes, even psychosis.
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, like, does that all happen in one go?
Yeah. So that's why the women were like completely messed up. They're like lying on the floor. But what was very interesting is this scientist, the reason why she led to this discovery is she obviously during those days, LSD wasn't a thing. But she, upon her research of reading eyewitness accounts and all of that, she made the connection that what these people who were like having these fits were going through was, yeah, very similar to when you take LSD. Now obviously LSD only came like 300 years later, so it definitely wasn't that.
Yeah.
And upon her research, she then found this bacteria, this mold that can grow in grain, and it causes the same effects.
Yeah.
And so she ended up putting together this whole research, that this could have been the answer, that this bread was made and with this contaminated grain, and obviously then people ate it, and well, you had people having fits everywhere. It kind of makes sense when you think about it, because yeah, I don't know how many witches were really actually living in Salem. Yeah. I mean, I know witches exist, but yeah.
So you'd imagine when people are experiencing like the fits and the muscle spasms and are reacting, it was probably looked at as if like people were manifesting like demons.
Yes, and stuff. So obviously like muscle spasms cause your body to like move in funny ways.
Yeah.
You're hallucinating. You're seeing things that aren't there. It's like having a very extreme seizure in a way. And so upon her research, suddenly the fits of Betty and Abigail didn't seem so mysterious. The ergot theory explains a lot why the symptoms started in a cluster and why they affected mostly children and why it seemed to vanish with the season, because that type of bacteria only grew in certain conditions.
Yeah.
So when those conditions went away, the bacteria went away. That's why it didn't like span for 5 years, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah. And this is why so many genuinely believe they were cursed, when it may have just been poisoning.
Yeah.
Of course, however, not everyone believes this theory. Critics argue that ergotism would have affected more people across household, just not a few select girls.
Yeah.
And ergot poisoning doesn't explain the social dynamics.
Yeah.
Why accusations targeted the poor, the marginalized, or those with land disputes. Now, you see, here's where I could say what happened. This becomes the perfect excuse to blame people you don't like, right?
Oh.
So, no, think about it, right? One person starts convulsing, and now there's the claim, witch, okay? And yeah, that's going around town, right? So if it happens to you, you think, who don't I like? Who do I want to see out of the picture? It becomes the perfect excuse.
That's actually quite psychotic for a place that's said to be quite religious.
Yeah, but I mean, Glory, too much religion doesn't always end up being the greatest thing in the world. But like, think about it. Like, your brain is so, your thinking process has so much fear, so much panic. You will make yourself believe that that person did something to you.
Yeah.
And you then fit it into this nice little box. Oh, we have witches. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like the perfect excuse to do. Like, and they said the fact that it was the people marginalized, the people not liked, the people who were having land disputes. That's very suspicious. The fact that, oh my goodness, my kid's convulsing on the floor. You, I'm fighting over land with you. It was you. Do you get what I'm saying? No, but like, that's very suspicious.
Yeah.
Okay. And some historians argue it was mass psychogenic illness, essentially mass hysteria triggered by stress and fear, or worse, deliberate manipulation. Some believe the girls exaggerated their symptoms to gain power and settle old grudges. Do you see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, this could have happened to only two people. Okay. Something, maybe there was something wrong in their family. I don't know. You never know. Maybe she was having an epileptic seizure. I don't think they knew what epilepsy was back in the 1600s. Okay. And now people are like, ooh, let's fake it and we'll see what we can. Do you see how like the mass panic and the mass hysteria just opens doors to people lying, people having power to do whatever they want, and lives are ruined. Okay. In a society where girls had no voice, suddenly they had a power to condemn adults to death. Whether it was illness, hysteria, or strategy, the result was the same. Chaos and death. By the end of 1692, the governor finally stepped in. The special court that was involved with the trials was disbanded and new trials were halted.
Yeah.
Public support evaporated, and in 1711, the Massachusetts government offered restitution, but the damages were already done. Mm. In 2001, over 300 years later, the last accused witch was officially exonerated by the state, saying, you know what, she wasn't a witch, she was just a human being.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's already dead. So, doesn't do much help, I'm just saying, 300 years later. But even now, the story of Salem echoes. It reminds us of how fragile truth can be when fear takes over. So, was it truly witches, or was it moldy bread? Or something worse, ourselves? That's the danger of moral panic. It disguises itself as justice, but beneath it, it's fear, prejudice, power, and sometimes poison. And I very much agree with that. I was watching it's a fictional show, but it really shows the idea of how public fear can mask itself as justice. It was a story of the time of slave and plantations in America, and this woman had a slave, but she respected him. She even gave him a wage, which at that time was not even legal. So she just kind of gave him small amounts of money. He was able to buy his own clothes and stuff like that. And the other people didn't like him because of this. The slave masters. How can you treat him like this? How he's like a piece of dirt. Why are you friends with him? Why do you speak to him nicely? And one of the slave masters actually gets killed, and they blame this slave. And it's ridiculous because the whole public turned against the slave. He had to run away, and in the end he actually gets killed, and he dies trying to save his wife and his unborn child, because they were running away together. And so to save her, he had to stay back, and he gets shot by the person who actually killed the slave master.
That's crazy.
So then the story died with him, because the slave master is like, I caught the slave, I killed him, it's all over, even though he was the one who had killed the other slave master. But because, well,
and was he doing
he was white and the slave was black, it kind of just
was he killed the other slave masters to try and like pin it on the
black guy? He had a problem with that slave master. There was a reason I can't remember it, I watched it a while ago, but he killed the slave master for whatever reason it was. And then he's like, okay, who's the easiest person to frame?
Yeah.
A slave, because they don't have rights, they don't have a voice, they're not going to have a lawyer, they're just going to get executed. So
it's quite interesting, like, of all people he could blame.
Well, it's the easiest.
Yeah, I'm just saying there are...
Because even if the slave says, I didn't do it, nobody cares. And fortunately for him, the lady he worked for did believe him. She's like, I know you didn't kill this man. And she actually tries to help him escape. And
obviously she couldn't really protect him.
No, she couldn't. And she does try to help him escape. But like I said, the actual murderer like bands together all these other slave masters, and they like create this mob, and they go after him with guns and dogs. And it really shows like they, in their fear, because they're trying to catch this killer slave, how they took justice into their own hands. And the slave was killed because of it. That little boy grew up without a father. His wife became a widow because of this sense of public justice. And it can be very dangerous. It's very tricky to take things into your own hands, and I think that's what happened here. People were like, okay, we're gonna start taking things into our own hands. We will now, anybody we believe is this witch must be accused and killed. I mean, that's wild, actually.
It is.
I mean, 30 people lost their lives because of it. That's no small fate.
Yeah.
And if there were 200 people accused, those other 170, their reputations would still have been ruined.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh my goodness, she was accused of being a witch. Like, is she a witch? No one would trust her. Her life would be ruined because of something like that. So it's very dangerous. And it's, I think the moldy bread presents a very viable theory Unfortunately, there is no way to prove it, because it's not like we can get that grain 400 years later. So, yeah, that's the Salem witch trials. And like I said, I learned a lot more. It's not just women were burned at the stake. There was a lot more to the story. But is there anything you'd like to add before we finish? Yeah,
just briefly, it's quite interesting how obviously through just a couple of conspiracies and, you know, speculation that people's lives end.
But that's what I'm trying to say, is that conspiracies don't always end up with a happy ending. They can do a lot of damage to the wrong people as well.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately in those days, a lot of the people who were killed before being witches were women. Women didn't have rights as well. They couldn't just be like, no, I didn't do it. It didn't work like that. Their voice had very little say.
Yeah.
So it's very sad. 30 people lost their lives for something they probably did. They did nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah. But that is the Salem witch trials. We hope you enjoyed. We hope you learned something. Be careful what bread you eat. No, I'm kidding. After hearing it just rye bread, I don't know if I'll ever eat rye bread again. I'm just saying. But anyway, we hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, we'll see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.